Friggin' what up, dude? Strider Wilson, and I'm the host of this podcast that's mine. It's gonna be called History is Dying.
History is dying.
Friggin' what up, dude? Fired up for another dank episode of History is Dank, dude. I'm your host, Strider Wilson, dude. Got Aaron on the sticks. What up, Aaron?
What up?
And, dude, we got an extra special freaking treat, dude. We got the legend himself, dude. The sausage king of Chicago, dude. Joe Morrisey on the pod, dude. What up?
Strider, what up, man?
Dude.
It's great to be here with you just one-on-one.
This feels nice, dude.
Yeah, just...
It's a great dynamic. You know...
Yeah, let's go.
You got a good squad. You know, Chad and JT, all of us can hang one-on-one. That's the true tell of a bro, is like, am I going to hang one-on-one?
Yeah. I can hang with all you guys one-on-one.
100%, dude. And we're each going to do our different thing. Me and you, we'd be tossing back a nice brewski, maybe watching a game, dude.
Yeah.
And then eating something that we're going to get into in a little bit. I don't want to tease it yet, but we've got a freaking dank episode lined up today. But first, dude, just a little personal history, you know, for myself, dude. Not too much going on, dude. Going to hang up a nice little... floating shelf above my desk area. Very fired up on that. A floating shelf.
What is that?
So it's like, it's basically, dude, you know, I'm going to text my brother-in-law to help build it, dude, because I don't have man skills. I'm just a boy. I can maybe use a power drill. I can maybe use that without taking my eye or slicing my tiny dong off with it. But he's going to really help me out. I sent him the measurements, and it's just a shelf that you would just like insert on your wall. Can put a nice frame up there, or a succulent.
Oh, it's just not attached to the desk. It's on the wall.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's nice.
Save some space on the desk.
Exactly. It looks fun. You kind of offset it. You know, if it was in your place, Joe, I could see you having like maybe a Cubs hat on there.
Sure.
Could see you having maybe you could put one of your softball championship trophies on there.
Well, that thing's pretty big. I don't think it'll fit.
How big is that thing?
It's about 4 feet tall.
It's 4 feet tall?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
I think it's at
Holy
least three.
Shit.
It's giant.
What league is this? They got a 4 feet tall trophy?
This is the... Yeah, I'd say if you put it on the ground, it's probably about up to the table.
So probably almost not quite as big as your hog.
Right. Okay. Pretty close, though.
Aaron, you got a hanging shelf in any of your in your home? You got a floating shelf, I should say?
We just have a couple for like... Like one by the door for keys.
Smart, yes.
One in the bathroom for books, which was not my call, but
yeah,
it's fine.
You need little toilet readers in there. It's always nice.
It looks
nice.
It's important to read in the bathroom.
Exactly. My sister...
I don't have any 4 foot tall softball trophies. Which is a bummer.
Dude, you and I would love to see... But Joe's retired. You're doing no more defense, right?
Yeah, I don't do... I'll golf and bowl.
But you've got a strict policy.
Yeah, I can't... I got hurt 2 out of 3 seasons that I played.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where I had to miss time. So it's like, I'm done. Yeah, I had to, like, sit out games. That's how, like, it wasn't just like, oh, I scraped my knee. Yeah, I, like, so.
When you had
like,
to sit
all right,
out,
that's it.
Did you still show up, though, and support your teammates?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I coached us to the championship.
Oh, because you were a player coach.
Yeah.
Would it be, is it okay or is it bad form? Like, say, just a player got hurt if they didn't show up, is that fine?
I mean, I guess it's 1 day a week, though.
Exactly.
You can come and watch. Yeah. It's an hour out of your day.
Right. And it's social. It's fun.
Yeah, it's fun. It's good being around the people.
God, it's going to be nice when that comes back.
You're telling me.
Damn, dude. Being able to hang out. It's outdoors. Get a freaking brewski.
It is fun. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we'll see. Because I've been doing these sprints. I'm in pretty good shape right now. Maybe I'll come back.
You look great. Dude, you look good.
Thanks, yeah.
Nice freaking upper girdle, dude. Shoulder strength looking good, dude.
I mean, yeah, I've been pumping the iron again.
I love that, dude.
Yeah, why not? There's nothing else to do.
I agree. It's like I'm sort of in like this quarantine, you know. It's sort of our own little jails, if you will, you know, but they're real nice. Nice one bedroom. I'll have a floating shelf soon. And it's like, yeah, I'm going to get a little bit ripped. You know, I'm going to get a little bit, I'm going to make some gains. I think I probably put on about 5 pounds of lean muscle.
Yeah, I think so. I've done that as well.
You look great. You know, what we're going to be talking about right now ain't going to help with the lean muscle, though. What we're going to get into today's subject matter, it's a food from a certain city with a certain team, with a certain you-know-what. But I'm not going to get there yet. First, I want to know, Joe, what's going on? Anything new? Any updates, dude? And, you know, your personal history, basically any news, dude? Anything crapping in? You're looking shredded, looking good.
Yeah, I've just been working out. Got a fresh shave in before this.
Beautiful.
Fresh shave on the dome and the face. And,
very nice. Did you do your dong as well or no?
Not today.
Right.
But I should really get all three of those in unison. That'd probably be...
You can do it. It's nice.
Line it up one day, yeah.
Do you do your entire morning routine in the shower? Are you a dude who brushes your teeth in the shower, shaves in the shower, gets it done?
No.
Neither am I.
People brush their teeth in the shower?
Yeah, dude, my brother was doing that. No, he used to brag about it. He'd go, bro, I can do my whole morning routine in the shower, 5 minutes, boom, bing, bang, bop. He'd have a toothbrush. I'd like use it, like come and visit him and have a little cup with a toothbrush with like extra shower water at the bottom of it.
Yeah, you want the shower water in your mouth?
No good. Aaron, you do your whole routine in the shower?
Hell no.
Okay, good.
That'd be wasteful. I tried manscaping in there. And as much as that thing works in the water, it's such a waste of water. I was like, this is not a good idea.
Yeah. I want to enjoy my manscape. I want to light a candle.
Yeah.
You know, and burn a little sage, maybe lavender scent, and just really, you know, get artistic with my hog.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
You know, treat it like one of those little bonsai trees, you know, but smaller in my case.
Yeah, it's a little ceremony.
Yeah. Say a prayer, but you really don't have to say a prayer because that thing's like plastic. I'm not going to really cut my sack. But dude, today we've got Joe here. And when Joe's here, I'm going to go ahead and say it. I'm going to say you are an expert when it comes to deep dish pizza.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
I would say that.
Yeah, I would say so.
You've probably had almost, I've compiled, so what I've done today, we're going to do the history of deep dish pizza. We have Joe here. Expert in deep dish pizza. Joe, where are you from?
The town I'm from Chicago.
There you go.
I don't know if you're trying to be exact.
No, even more exact. Where
are you? I'm from Park Ridge, Illinois.
Park Ridge, Illinois. Love it. Aaron is...
Right outside of Chicago.
What do you take? 55 South?
No, it's off the 294.
Okay.
90.
You go down there by Wabash, Pulaski Road? Down there off Navy Pier?
It's not too far
Lakeview.
Away, yeah.
Okay. See, you know, I don't want to mess around down there off Cicero. Make a left by the White Castle. Forget about it. You know what I mean? I don't want to offend anybody, but I might slip into a Midwest accent. My GF, she's also, I think people do this when you're from, and you live in LA and you're from Chicago or like a suburb. You basically just tell people, I'm from Chicago because what the hell do we know? You know?
Yeah.
My GF's from like Joliet, where Joliet Jake's from the Blues Brothers. Maybe you heard of it. And, she takes 55 South, that's why I say. And
Yeah, that's the way there.
And I'll get into in a little bit my favorite deep dish, but I do, when we go in, I do my Midwest accent, and she goes, you gotta stop that. I just lean, every time we land, I go, where's the PI? Where's the PI on that? You know, because they're grabbing Robinson. Damn Packers.
Well, Aaron, yes, yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, what were you going to say?
No, I just was going to say, yeah, the accent you're doing is more Wisconsin, Minnesota.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, see, we've got a true expert here. Aaron is from Chicago as well. Aaron doesn't have an accent because, Aaron, when did you move to California?
When I was 4.
Do you think there's something in your DNA that, you know, when you taste a deep dish, you just know? Or do you have to live in the city? You got to live in there and experience it.
I mean, certainly my palate's not as refined as Joe here.
Yes.
But there's definitely something in the DNA. There's definitely a Midwestern ethic.
I would agree with that.
There's definitely word pronunciations that I have that you get there.
Mm-hmm. Like mainly like a pop or a soda thing, or you call like fireflies lightning bugs or...
Yep, lightning bugs for sure.
Yeah, that's the last time I've seen what they are?
They're fireflies.
They don't even have them here.
I don't even think so, yeah.
Yeah, so what do you know?
That's exactly right.
I mean...
But the book that I read, or like some story, some Scott Odell novel that I read, tell me about them. All right, here's what I've done. I've compiled a little bit of research. I've gone deep, deep, deep into the archives of the web. Found a nice little article on bbc.com. You know, I always list the sources, so check it out if you're interested in further reads. But I'm going to go through, I'm going to start with a little bit of just the history of a pizza, you know? Let's go to Italy. We're going to talk pizza. And then, just like anything, pizza, it's an immigrant like all of us, came across the sea. And, you know, pizza settles in New York. You got that style. But we're going to focus on when pizza settled in Chicago. Why did they go deep dish? You know, from how it really started. Pizza has its roots in, you know, if you look back at the Phoenicians, the Greeks, the Romans, it's a flatbread. Which, you know, they say all things come back in style. And now you order a flatbread, you know, at a tapas style bar on like a first date.
Oh,
like,
so they called it flatbread back then.
It was like,
that's basically what it looked like.
Yeah, it looked like that. And they had a Latin term for it. In fact, it was called pincere, P-I-N-S-E-R-E. And that was actually maybe an Italian term, not Latin, because that was like 16th century. Because tomatoes were brought over from the New World, North America. So the flatbreads, the Roman ate and stuff, the Romans ate, maybe had dates. It was sweeter.
Oh,
maybe a little bit of that savory and sweet stuff. But I'm like, I'm not ordering a flatbread. Maybe, Joe, if you're on a first date with a nice coug, maybe a flatbread, something you guys might split.
Yeah, if you're at like CPK or something,
exactly.
You got a nice flatbread, sure.
Maybe you get some apricots on there, drizzle it with some Parmesan, maybe ricotta or burrata.
Yeah, anything goes with flatbread. I can mix up all kinds of flavors, barbecue chicken.
Which is the superior order from a CPK. You got to go barbecue chicken.
Yeah, I think so.
First date, I don't think you go deep dish pizza.
No.
On a first date.
No way.
No chance. Takes 45 minutes to make. And if you guys aren't, sparks aren't flying, you got to sit there and then, you know, gobble down.
Yeah, deep dish date, maybe you got to wait about 3 years.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's a well into the, we established our diets. Yeah, you got to wait on that.
100%. And funny enough, the original pizzas, when we're talking right now, we're talking, you know, 16th century Italy. It was something that, you know, the residents in Naples is like where the main origin was. It's a port city, so tomatoes would come back there. So pizza has its origins in Naples. And although, like I mentioned, it was, you know, a little bit all over the Mediterranean. It's a flatbread. But pizza as we know it now and what it's become into its other iterations, including deep dish, has its origin in Naples. And it was a poorer community would eat it because, you know, the city was hot and living quarters were small. So you'd want to do your eating outside. In fact, there's like an Italian tradition where like people after dinner stroll to the fountain or like the court and like do an outdoor activity and then go back to their places because, you know, you're in your house. You don't want to be in there.
Yeah.
You know, and especially if you're a person of lesser means. You want to get out and go and enjoy that nice Mediterranean climate that they got. And since you're not sitting at a table, you want something that's easy to eat. What's easy to eat? Pizza.
Yeah.
So that's sort of, you know, mother is the, or necessity is the mother of invention, as they say. And then this makes me wonder, then why in Chicago, and maybe it's climate, are you going deep dish? Because it's cold. It's not a Mediterranean climate. Takes a while to make.
You got to fatten up for that winter.
Got to get a little extra bulk for winter.
Yeah, I'm sure the climate had something to do with it.
It's got to have a little something to do with it. It's you're not walking around with a piece of deep dish. I eat deep dish with a fork and knife. I'll admit it.
Oh yeah.
Is that nuts to do?
No, that's mostly what people do.
Yeah, you got to.
At least the first couple bites. That's usually what I do. I'll do like two or three bites and then let's pick this thing up.
Joe, could I ask you?
It's not like a piece of steak, you know. I want to get it.
Yeah, no. You get the crust and you pick it up. Could you just before we begin, and this might be, and just indulge us and mainly myself, just describe your ideal piece of deep dish pizza. Don't say the place yet, because I do want to ask you your favorite place as we go through a few that I've said. But what's your ideal deep dish pizza? And feel free to get as sexual in your description when describing it as you'd prefer.
Okay, yeah, I like a nice, I like the crust a little soft, but a little crunchy, you know, not too hard, and it can't be soggy. And I like the tomatoes, nice and chunky, but not, like, sometimes they put, like, half a tomato, doesn't get chopped. I want the tomatoes chopped. I like pepperoni and hot jardinera.
Gotta have the hot. Oh, that's so dang. Yeah. That's the stuff you get at Portillo's, right? those like jardinera peppers.
Yeah, you could put it on beef sandwiches or yeah.
Oh.
But I like it on, I especially like it on deep dish pizza. Pepperoni with jardinera is my favorite deep dish combo. And then I like, let's see, I like half crust and then half cheese. I don't like the places that do a thin layer of crust and then it's like 2 inches of cheese. I don't like that. I like the crust and the cheese.
50-50 split.
50-50. Slight crisp to the crust. And yeah, I guess that's, yeah.
Oh, that sounds so good. That sounds like a piece of pizza I'd like to, you know, excuse me for saying this, maybe even sit on or just, you know, American pie, something like that. You
oh,
know,
yeah.
Take your, you could take, if temperature correct, you know, not scalding out of an 800-degree oven, but after
yeah,
it's
you
settled,
be careful with it.
You know, play just the tip with a piece of deep dish. That sounds like the pie I'd want to do.
Yeah,
it
I think you could get away with that.
Me, I love, you know, my Jeff's vegetarian, sometimes pescatarian, because we do crush sushi together. You know, every rule is made to be broken. Some are made to be bent. Others are made to be broken. Morpheus, what up, the Matrix? But I do enjoy a nice stuffed spinach. I'm not going to lie to you. A nice, I would it, for me, it'd be two slices. Because if you're having more than two slices of deep dish, you're going to be full. You're not moving.
Yeah.
Two slices of deep dish in one sitting. One of them, I want that nice sausage, but a crumbled sausage. You know, not like thicker.
The patty?
Not a patty. I don't want the patty. I want like the little pieces of sausage.
Oh, like, you don't like sausage in every bite? Okay.
Okay, all right.
No, go ahead. Okay, no, you're right. I get it.
Okay.
Makes
but
sense.
I want some pepperoni and sausage in there.
All right, yeah.
No ham, though. I don't want the meat lovers any, or bacon. I don't need any of that.
Yeah, I don't do meat lovers at all. It's
too much.
Yeah.
I want to taste the other stuff.
Usually my rule is one meat.
Agreed. Yep, pepperoni. Yeah, I agree. I would just do
maybe
sausage.
Maybe two.
Yeah. I'm totally on board with that.
Because, like, pepperoni and sausage is good together, but no more than two meats at a time.
You either just do bacon, which I don't even want bacon on my pizza. Get it out of here.
I do.
Really?
Yeah, I've had bacon and tomato is a great combination.
Really?
That's why I'm here, so.
That's true.
You're welcome for
Joe is
these
the expert.
Tips. Yeah.
I'm learning. That's what we're here to do. We're all here to learn.
Bacon's great on a thin crust pizza, more so.
Maybe that's what I was imagining.
Yeah, I've never had a deep dish.
We've all heard of the margarita pizza, perhaps the most. In this article, they said infamous. I don't know why. Maybe because it's not that good. Like, I really don't ever order a margarita pizza.
Infamous?
That's what I mean. I'm like, I don't
know.
Well,
margarita's
know.
Typically, okay. That's more in the Neapolitan style
correct.
Of pizza. Yeah.
Correct. And it was made, it's named Margarita because it was made for Queen Mary Carolina de Habsburg Lorena, wife of the King of Naples. Okay. And I think she went by like Margarita.
Oh, okay.
And this guy, freaking, what's his name, dude? Some a famous like Neapolitan pizza maker, Rafael Espicioto.
It's a nice name.
It's a great Italian name. He made it for the Queen of Italy, Margherita of Savoy, is what her name was. And he wanted to put the Italian flag colors on there, the basil, the green,
right, yeah.
The cheese, the white, and then, of course, the red sauce. And it's pretty dank. So, but let's go to Chicago. Okay, we're hopping on a plane. We're getting off at Midway, not O'Hare, unless you want to drive yourself nuts, go to O'Hare.
Ooh, I go to O'Hare.
But it's probably just closer for you, 290.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, but Joe's the Chicago expert. If you're going to go 55 south, go Midway. Am I right?
Right, right.
If you're going to go, you know, north side of Chicago, whatever, you know, then go maybe O'Hare.
Yeah, yeah.
It's also the airport they're famously running through in Home Alone 2.
Mm-hmm.
All right, dude. So, like anything, the United States were a country of immigrants. Everyone came over here and frickin' so did pizza, dude. People were going to New York. Then a lot of people go to the, as they call it, the second city, Chicago. And then you got two entrepreneurs, Ike Sewell and Rick Ricardo. Okay, Italian name, Rick Ricardo.
Yeah.
You know, they decided to create something different. Okay, so Neapolitan pizza, that was the first one introduced. But then these guys are in Chicago. They're Italian Americans. and they want to create their version of pizza in 1943. So they opened up in WW Deuce. The pair opened a little pizza shop. Maybe you heard of it. Pizzeria Uno.
Uno, yeah.
And it's in the North Side neighborhood, and they were serving deep dish. They've got a crunchier crust, inverted layers, a far cry from the Neapolitan version. And it's a taste of home, but definitely different. And I'm going to say this now. Uno should be called Deuces, because if you eat it, you're immediately taking a shit, dude. We had it when we went out there to visit South Bend. Me, JT, a couple other bros were like, we got to get deep dish. We're in Chicago before we get on our flight. Yeah. We immediately ran to the bathroom because the line was so long, like we couldn't use the bathroom in there anymore. We bought tickets to a museum so we could all go take Deuces after having our Unos.
There is a pizza. They did a number two, Pizzeria Due. Yeah.
So did they really?
There is a Deuces, yeah.
Interesting. Unos is not the best, Joe. Can
no,
say that?
No, I don't think so. I haven't had it in years, but it was good, but
it's
more of a tourist, yeah.
Exactly. Aaron, what's your take on Unos?
It's fine. I don't even know if I've had it out here, not there.
Yeah, that's but, just to let you know.
Thank you for mentioning that it is a deuce inducer.
Yeah. Dude.
Every time I've had deep dish, twice in Chicago, oh, wrecked me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it can.
It'll do that. But you got to go to the right place, and we're going to get into a few other ones. So the Chicago deep dish tradition is rooted in Uno's. There's no denying it. It's not the best. And correct me if I'm wrong, Joe, but it seems to me as we go through a few of these other places, people all kind of started at Uno's, chefs. They went other places, but their recipes all involve the crust of how they get it that crispy and the texture of the crust, and then also how they apply the sauce and when.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the secret is. You know, it's in that ratio of crust to cheese, which is like you were saying. So I think we got a good expert on our hands.
What's interesting too is they don't really credit somebody for inventing it. They kind of say...
Really?
Well, yeah, I don't think they give the credit to one person on things that I've read about it.
That's true.
They just say it started there. They don't say like who came up with it. They just kind of...
I know. I would look for... It's not like... Usually all these genius things like start in someone's kitchen or whatever, and then they got to create a restaurant.
I mean, it had to be somebody's idea.
Totally.
But I don't know, maybe they did do it together, those two guys, but...
And these guys are described as entrepreneurs. So they, like, hired chefs. And that's what's interesting. And two of the chefs they hired, here's a name that you're going to know if you've ever had deep dish pizza, the Malnati's.
Yeah.
You can't talk Chicago deep dish if you're not talking Malnati's.
Yeah, he was one of their chefs, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And so he branches off, and there's a little bit of, like... It feels kind of mafioso. You could probably make a fun like mafia family of like whose chef is whose. There's like two brothers. There's Rudy, and then there's Lou.
Yeah.
So Rudy, he kind of like, he lived in, he worked at Pizzeria Uno, and then him and Ricardo, according to the Malnati family, would go out and hand out slices of deep dish pizza to spread the word. So even then, they're kind of going on that Neapolitan tradition of like, pizza in the street, even though it's a slice of deep dish. It's like, good luck eating this in your winter gloves, but
yeah,
or you know, come inside and sit down and order a pie. So then he goes like, this guy Sewell, this other dude Sewell comes in there. I don't know how the hell he does this. Oh no, Sewell's the street, sorry. And they're handing, Ricardo and him are handing out pizzas on Sewell. And so they kind of have like their Rudy and Ricardo kind of have like their identity within the restaurant. But then Lou, you know, Rudy passes away, or Ricardo passes away. He's a little bit older. Rudy's kind of taking control. And then Lou's, who's co-managing Pizzeria Uno, is kind of like, doesn't know what he's going to do there. You know, he's looking for his spot. And finally he abandons ship. He goes, you know what? I'm not being able to be myself and express myself in these pies the way I want to do it. And so in 1971, he creates Lou Malnati's Pizzeria in the North Shore suburb of Lincolnwood. Is Lincolnwood a nice area?
Yeah, that's the first one. I've never been to that one, but yeah, Lincolnwood's in a nice area. It's like North Shore, basically.
North Shore's always nice. It's the first deep dish pizza I ever had. Well, really, in all honesty, and I don't even know if this counts, is BJ's you know, BJ's Pizza, like the chain.
To the brew house.
Yeah, the brew house. I got deep dish there. That's a deuces. Dude, you take one bite of those, if you're going to get deep dish at BJ's, ask for a booth as close to the restroom as possible, because you're going to be sprinting there after having an amber.
I've never done deep dish at like a place like that. No.
Don't do it.
Yeah, I won't.
If you're there, get the Pizookie. Get the pizza cookie. Go there for a dessert on your date. Don't get dinner there.
The Pizookie.
It's pretty nice. Have you had the Pizookie?
No.
It's a giant cookie with ice cream on top. It's pretty dank. It's
pizza. That's a cookie.
Yeah. Pizza with cookie. Pizookie a la mode. Right. Dank, dude.
It's great.
Yeah, it sounds good.
So, but Lou Malnati's known for his butter crust. That was his trademark. He wasn't able to express himself at Uno's with that dank butter crust. He'd use different oils. He'd use oil and butter so that it would sear it properly. And then the way they talk about it, I mean, I have to get a little bit sexual. You know, the quality tomatoes, lean, nice bulbous cherubic tomatoes that he'd slice nice and thin, a massaged tomato that would lean sausage, perfectly sausage, so fresh it had to be spanked into that nice deep dish, harmonizing, forming a signature pie, the Malnati blend as it is, and that special sauce on there, just put it in, lathering it on there nicely. Yeah. You have to describe it in a sexual manner. And it's trademarked. This was the first pie I ever had. When I went and visited my GF, she goes, we're going to get some deep dish. Took me to Lou Malnati's. I got there. I didn't know. I was like, I was starving. We just got off a plane. They're like, yeah, buckle up. Wait 45 more minutes till a pie comes out.
Yeah.
Worth the wait. So damn dank.
Oh, yeah. You just got to get a couple appetizers while you wait.
So true.
But, yeah, that's what sets them apart to me is that crust.
Agreed.
A lot of these places like them and like Gino's, Gino's East uses more cornmeal. But either of those crusts, especially Lou Malnati's with that butter, and if it has just the right crunch, yeah, it's perfect.
Is that your favorite one?
Yeah, Lou's to me is the king.
Really?
And then Gino's is my second favorite.
Has the Gino's in LA opened yet? I mean, did COVID?
Oh, yeah. It's, where is it? Sherman Oaks. Yeah. I went to it like a year ago.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's really good.
It holds up?
Yeah.
Dude, I might need to order a piece. That might need to be what I do for Valentine's Day for my GF. Get some freaking Gino's East. Bring it home.
You could, yeah.
Fired up. Then there's another place called Pisano's. I'm going to admit it. Before I did my research, never heard of it. Joe, what's going on with Pisano's?
Yeah, I've heard of it. I just never had it.
Right? That's what I figure. I'm like...
Well, yeah, there's so many places that do deep dish in Chicago now. But yeah, Lou's is just... the king, because they were the first to do it, basically.
To do it right.
Outside of Uno, yeah.
They were the ones that made it dank. And mm-hmm. in 1971, like, it took off. Like, it exploded. People, they loved it. I mean, arguably the best one to today. Pisano's is also related to... Lou Malnati had a half-brother, Rudy Jr. Remember I talked about Rudy and Ricardo?
Yeah.
Slinging pies on Sewell Street. He opens his own spot, Rudy Jr., Pisano's in 1991 in downtown Chicago. And... he's got an original recipe he claims was developed by Rudy Sr. himself. So when Lou went off to Lincolnwood, Donna Marie, who I think was another chef in there, spent her nights rolling out dough in a secret recipe in Pisano's. And so Rudy Jr. and Donna Marie kind of create their own pie. And I like that Donna Marie, she's not Italian. So, you know, maybe it taste-wise, but as far as getting the dough right, anyone can do it, and we'll see that.
Oh, Donna Marie is not Italian?
No. Oh, yeah, you know what?
She
certainly sounds Italian. No, Donna Marie's Italian. Oh, no. I'm thinking of someone else who I'm about to get into. But Pisano's is kind of known because it's in the iconic Chicago movie Blues Brothers. It's got the white and red checkered tables, which if you've got a restaurant where you're serving deep dish and you don't have red and white checkered tables, I'm walking out.
Yeah.
You got to have the tablecloths.
Yeah, those are great.
It just makes you feel so right. Michael Jordan's famously been pictured in there, so... Pisano's, their marketing campaign, if their pie alone isn't doing it, they've got something to be, at least they're holding their own weight. Now we get to Gino's East. Gino's East is formed, falling outside of the Malnati, Ricardo, Sewell saga thing, Gino's East is kind of independent deep dish pizza. It opens in 1966. It's the second oldest deep dish spot after Pizzeria Uno, of course. Founders are Sam Levine and Fred Bartoli.
Okay.
And they've hired a former Uno cook, Alice May. This is who's not Italian. Alice May Redmond and her sister, Ruth Hadley. So two ladies team, these entrepreneurs seek them out. They go, you guys are doing pie right. Let's make our own place. And they created Geno's East. And I love that, dude. I even went on to go to the Geno's East website, and they say, they like claim something about Lavord was born in Sicily, or Bartoli is the first generation Italian American. They created the pie recipe for Geno's famous pies. And then Alice Mae Redmond sort of perfected this recipe. And she claims that it's all in the way that she applies the sauce. And she does everything from scratch. It's her own secret. She had been at Pizzeria Uno for 17 years. And then, Alice Mae comes in and she's got her own process. She has the entire pizza making process down. Excuse me, it's Alice Mae who says she coaxes the sauce on there instead of splattering it. And it just goes into basically it's not just a ratio thing. It's a love thing.
Nice. Yeah, Geno's and Lou's to me are the two best. Like Giordano's, I'd rather have your thin crust than that brick of cheese that they serve.
Oh, that hurts me to hear you say that, but, Joe.
Oh. No, because the thing with Lou's and Geno's, they have their own distinguished crust and sauce, and you could tell the difference. What's great is you can tell the difference between the two, but they're both great.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't say, this one, nah, I don't like. Like, they're both great in their own way. Like, the Geno's crust has a little more cornmeal. Their sauce, I want to say, is a little bit sweeter than Lou's. And Lou's will do that butter crust, and their crust is a slightly thinner.
Mm.
And then it's just, there's little differences between the two, but you can't go wrong either way. I mean, Geno's, I would go back and forth. Geno's would be my favorite, then I'd say Lou's, and I don't know. But
so maybe mood-based. It wouldn't be something outlandish. So me saying, if I were to say Giordano's is my favorite, it would be as outlandish as when Aaron says that Five Guys is his favorite over In-N-Out.
Well, I mean, yeah, to me, Giordano's just, it's too much cheese. And I'm not big on the stuffed pizza. Then it's a calzone to me.
Whoa. It's basically an uncovered calzone. Aaron, did you hear that I totally jabbed you right there? How do you feel about that shit coming at you?
I mean, you can say what you will, but you can be wrong. It's fine.
You know what?
I got to try Five Guys again because I haven't had it in so long.
I haven't had it in forever. I mean, if there's an In-N-Out equidistant from where we record this to where Five Guys is, I mean, what am I nuts going to drive over to Five Guys? Maybe what am I nuts going to drive over to Giordano's? Now I'm going to say it. Joe, Giordano's wasn't even on this list of Chicago deep dish history that I found. It's basically those main places. It's Lou Malnati's, Geno's East, Pisano's, and then the origin, Uno's, otherwise known as Deuces.
Yeah, well, Giordano's. Well, have you had Lou's and Geno's?
You know what? I've had Lou's, but I've never had Geno's. I want to try Geno's really bad.
You should have it.
I want to try, but Giordano's, I put it on here because I loved it so much. And, its creation comes from a northern Italy, small town in Torino. Mama Giordano made it. She had her renowned dishes. Her most beloved meal was her Italian Easter pie, which was the deep dish pizza. So maybe, I think Giordano's lets us know that deep dish maybe has origins even back in Italy.
Yeah.
Known as an Easter pie, which makes more sense. You just described it as a calzone. So even Mama Giordano didn't call it a deep dish pizza because it probably isn't that much cheese on there. It's almost like a lasagna.
Well, yeah, that's kind of the thing about that. Giordano's to me is more like a pie or a cake.
You're right.
It's not even, there's just so much.
It is a lot of cheese, but it's just so dank. I mean, the stuffed spinach. Oof.
Yeah, it's fine, but I'm not going to go there.
You're right. Started in 1974 in Chicago's historic South Side. Efren and Joseph, Mama Giordano's descendants, they start the first Giordano's in the world. And, 40 years and counting, it's got millions of people happy, loyal fans. I'm one of them.
Oh, Joe's, yeah. Not. I mean, like I said, I've had their thin crust pizza, and I love it. I think it's great. I'd rather have that.
I didn't even know they did a thin crust.
Yeah, they do. All those places do.
But you got to go deep dish.
But, yeah, especially Lou's and Geno's, you got to go with the deep dish. But I think Giordano's is great thin.
Okay, I'm going to try that next time I'm out there. I am absolutely going to freaking try that.
I'll say Giordano's thin crust is better than Lou's.
Really?
Yeah. And it's probably, I can't remember Geno's thin crust, but
But it's all about the deep dish. That's what that's the fastball. You know. That's like telling a guy like on a skateboard, like, you know, if you're trying to see who can ollie higher, but the other guy's like, dude, yeah, but dude, I can freaking ride on two wheels for a little bit. Like, I can, what's that called? Like, not nollying, but like
manual.
Yeah, I can manual. It's like, great. I don't care how you manual.
Man,
we're talking ollies.
Yeah,
that's the barometer here. So it's interesting. Is there anything I missed regarding any, are there any spots other than that? Everything sort of disseminates from there, you know. Even Giordano's Fresh Brothers Pizza, which is a chain maybe you heard of, they're out here in LA. That's from the brother of Giordano's. They started Fresh Brothers. They have an okay deep dish pizza.
Okay, yeah, I've never had their deep dish.
It's okay.
But I like their pizza. Yeah, I've had the thin. I like it.
If you're in LA, where do you get deep dish? Of course, Gino's East, because they have one out here, but where else would you
get? There's actually a place right by me on Melrose called, they opened almost a year ago they opened. It's called Chicago Stuffed Pizza Company.
Whoa.
It's really good.
It's actually good?
Yeah.
It sounds like it'd be like hack trying to get people in there, but it's good.
No, it's very good. Yeah, the guys are from Chicago, so.
Ooh. Maybe I'll go there.
It's good because it's not Lou's or Gino's, but it's very good in its own way. It's a little different, which.
Have you been to Masa?
Masa, yeah, I had that once. I had Hollywood Pies. I liked that better than Masa.
I agree. Hollywood Pies is better. Masa, I feel like, does the big tomatoes. It's too much tomato going on in the Masa pie. But the crust is good.
But Chicago Stuffed is up there with Gino's and Lou's.
Do they import the water?
That's a good question. I think they do.
Okay, what's going on with the water? Is this like a Brooklyn Bagel type thing? Like you got to have the Chicago water or something?
I think so.
Yeah, it's kind of in the...
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Okay, that's why I got you on here. That's why I got Aaron. What's the deal with the water? Like, it just, the way it reacts with the dough, it's just the right...
Yeah, I guess.
Interesting. Because I've heard of that Brooklyn bagel...
Yeah, Brooklyn water bagel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I didn't know Chicago pizzas did that. They brought in the water from Chicago.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure if they do.
What's special about that Chicago water? I mean, is it something from like Lake Michigan out there, or that little canal?
Yeah, Lake Michigan.
Something like that. They pump it in. You got to get that nice Lake Michigan agua. I'm in. I'm on board. Look, you take one bite of Lou Malnati's, or Giordano's in my case, I say don't change a thing. You ship that water all the way out here if you have to. Freeze it. You got to get the holdover. I freaking love that, dude. I should have. Dude, now I'm hungry as hell. I want to get a piece of deep dish pie.
Yeah, yep. Chicago Stuffed is great.
Damn. I might have to, dude. Definitely know I'm not going to Five Guys, but dude, I definitely know that I might be ordering a piece of deep dish pie, dude. Do you get like a salad with it, or is there like a good, what do you pair your deep dish with? You know, now we're getting a little away from it. I mean, I like IPAs, but honestly, it might be too heavy to have with a deep dish pie.
Yeah, you might want to go like Miller Lite.
Yep.
With the, you know, any kind of light beer with the... With deep dish, yeah. You don't want to go IPA. That'd be tough.
Isn't there some sort of like weird, like bad alcohol that people like in Chicago or something like that? Isn't it called like, it like tastes shitty on purpose?
Of, Malort?
Yes, Malort. What the hell is Malort?
I don't know. It's stupid.
Yeah, why do people like, is it just like a, like why is it big in Chicago?
I think it was just like a goof thing. I don't know. I don't think anyone
it's like a
above
thing.
25 will drinks any shots of it. But
right. It's like when people are like, no, Pabst is good. Like a tall boy at Pabst. It's like, no, I want a Miller Lite's way better than a Pabst.
Pabst is pretty good, though. I used to
really?
Like, well, no, I don't like them anymore, though.
But that's like Malort is like bad on purpose. It was almost like, did you ever get in the
that's
thing?
What it seems like, yeah.
Did you ever take Rumplemint shots?
Yeah.
You don't do shots anymore, though.
No, but I did like Rumplemints.
It's kind of nice. But it would make me, it was like drinking mouthwater, like, or mouthwash.
Yeah, it was very minty. And Gold Schlager.
Dude, I've had one of the worst hangovers ever in my life because of Gold Schlager. It's so sugary, dude.
Yeah.
Oh. All right, dude. I mean, unless we got any more to say about deep dish, I feel like let's get some questions going.
Well, I just would like to say one last thing. It is pizza. You know, I like people say, oh, no, that's not pizza. Yeah, it is. It is pizza. It's a very good kind of different pizza. All pizza's good, the New York kind, Chicago square cut tavern style pizza. Deep dish is pizza, and if you can't handle it, then that's your problem. But don't say it's not pizza, because it is, because they call it pizza. So,
100% agree.
Thanks.
And we just did the history. We know it's pizza. Came over from, you know, Neapolitan style. It's rooted in that. And then, you know, maybe because of weather or climate, they went deep dish because people are going to wait indoors. You know, you want to warm up and then have a nice slice of pie, get to know each other. Maybe that little Midwest hospitality. Come inside, hang out.
Maybe they had all these cast iron pans laying around. Like, hey, what, we got to make use of these cast iron pans.
100%.
You know?
You kidding me? No question. So I agree, Joe. I'm glad you said that. I do consider it pizza. And we've even made a distinction. Arguably, maybe Giordano's could be considered not pizza, even though I would, but it's dank. But like,
yeah, it's still pizza.
The other deep dish that we've all talked about, it's pizza.
Yeah.
You're cutting it into a slice. You can hold it in your hand if you want to, but you can eat it with a fork and knife. People eat flatbreads with forks and knives, you know? So I'm with you. It's pizza.
Yeah.
And it's damn good pizza. Oh, it's damn good.
Mm-hmm.
All right, dude, let's do a few questions. Dear Strider and Aaron and Joe's in the house, I hope there is an aura of Stoke flowing through the room as you read this. There is, dude. We got Joe here, dude.
Yeah.
I'm a college student at USD. Oh, that's San Diego, University of San Diego. And amped to be writing into the pod about my relationship with bud, a.k.a. cannabis. The first time that I smoked some bodacious bud was in high school, and I personally found it to be very Stoke-inducing. I thoroughly enjoyed smoking doobies and the adventure of a smoke sesh with my peers. I continued to blaze a bit more frequently in college. However, big however, all caps, my relation with sweet, stinky weed has recently took a turn for the worst. It started last week when I smoked what I thought was a regular doink with my brother. However, it made me very sweaty, caused my heart to race, and convinced me that my own brother doesn't even like me. I thought it would be a one-time thing, but since then, I can't get high without thinking that I'm a complete renob or that everyone around me just wants to boke me. What gives? Is my relationship with bud becoming unchill? There will always be a place in my heart for jazz cabbage, but jazz cabbage. But why would I continue to get high if it's just making me feel like a knob? Any advice would be greatly appreciated. Thanks for spreading the stoke and dank knowledge. Sincerely, Ben. Ben, I love it. Great question, dude. I mean, my relationship with weed has always been your recent one, dude. I've smoked with my buddies, dude. I've literally looked around at my best friends for a decade, and I look at them and I go, you guys all like me, right? Like, you guys all trust me and stuff? Like, I think, especially stuff now is really powerful. Like, it really, I've had bad experiences. I once time had hash in college, and, you know, the older dudes on the volleyball team were like, dude, we'll freaking milk the chamber for you on this bong, then you clear it, dude. And of course, they milked it heavy and just ripped hash to my freaking dome and just like was watching myself walk, dude. Like I took like 3 showers to like make sure I was getting something done, dude. Like I did watch Into the Blue with Paul Walker multiple times though. It's a dank movie, nice. But I don't know, man. I feel like it's what he takes into his smoking. You know, right now I feel like you're taking that negativity into it because you've had that. Maybe do a reset. Maybe work out, get something done productively. Have that yin and yang. Balance it out with like sending some fire emails, dude. You know, or maybe, going for a jog and then, you know, sit down, blaze it up and watch a nice 3D movie. What do you think, Joe?
Yeah, I would say maybe pay attention to the strain. Like, go with a lighter strain for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Work your way back. Try not to... make sure you're doing it with some chill people and having a good time. And
yep.
So you're not freaking out, man.
Totally, dude. You don't want to ruin anyone else's high, and you want to enjoy yours, you know. Maybe steer clear of those indicas, right? They put you in your head.
Yeah.
Maybe munch on, you know, maybe edibles are more potent. Maybe take like one rip, chill, and then don't, you know, you sound like you're an experienced smoker. Don't do that thing of like, I'm not even feeling it. Then you blaze it up again, and you're just totally shacked out of your dome, dude.
Yeah, I think he could probably figure it out. He knows every freaking nickname of this stuff.
Exactly, dude. This guy... Aaron, what do you think?
He fucking majored in pot, this guy.
He is majoring in weed at USD. Catholic University, too. I don't know how they feel about that.
Toreros. Bullfighters.
Right. John Harbaugh was a coach there for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Not John Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh.
Jim, yeah.
Yes, yeah. Jim.
Aaron, what do you think, dude?
I don't have much experience in the way of that, but it to me, it does sound like an indica sativa mix-up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know which way you're supposed to go, but I feel like indica's the more... You get in your head and you get paranoid, so.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
Indica, into head, and then I don't know, sativa something body. Sativa is like in the couch. No, indica in the couch.
Well, yeah, indica is like more if you're like trying to go to sleep, and
that's what it is.
Sativa is more like the party weed.
Okay, so maybe he needs to not do an indica. That's going to put you in the couch and in your dome.
Yeah.
He needs to do something that's going to be a little more chill. Yeah, dude, I would say, look, every and like anything, dude, every relationship has highs and lows. You want to get it at a nice steady. Right now, you got to have a little bit of low with your bud, but, you know, it's still your bud. He's going to come back. He's going to have your back soon enough. So, I mean, the true stoners say just smoke through it, dude, but, you know, be careful, have fun, and, you know, go into it with positivity because it's going to exacerbate whatever mood you're taking into it, I think.
Yeah.
Sounds like you're worried about it. And so then it's bringing that worry out. So get to a place in your life where you're not going to be worried. Like, where are you not worried most, you know? Maybe in your drill factory, you know? All right, dude, let's do another one. What up, dude? I won my fantasy league against my boys and proved I'm the biggest dog of them all. I'm fired up to get the trophy in my possession and show this puppy off. I'm in a tough spot, though, because my wife doesn't want this dank trophy chilling on the mantle.
Ooh.
She said it doesn't vibe with the mid-century modern decor. Where should I display the trophy? Many thanks, Darren. It sounds like I wrote this question of myself. It sounds like I go by Darren. You know what I mean? Maybe you treat it like, you know, in the East. In the West, we have paintings in a frame on display always. We have our art up on display, and that's a painting, and there it is. In the East, in China, you would put a painting on a scroll. And now there was, you know, in Japan, you'd have like sliding doors with screen prints and wood block prints and everything. But a lot of times you'd have a painting on a scroll and you would take it out, say at dinner or later, and then you would appreciate it. You would unscroll the painting, put it up on the wall, sit back, maybe show some friends, maybe you brag a little bit and go, let's now all appreciate this scenery we have right there, whatever it is, you know, a mountainscape or whatever, portrait even, and then enjoy it. So maybe... And I'm selling you here because I want him, you know, happy wife, happy life. Maybe your trophy, you take it out and you appreciate it like they do in the East every once in a while.
No, I don't know.
Joe's got a forfeit trophy. Joe, what do you think?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, this one really hits home. Unless you're super rich and you have a trophy room, the trophy's got to be out there front and center.
Really?
Yeah, it stays out. You want people to see... shows everyone you're a winner,
mm-hmm.
which kind of sets the vibe for the room. Like, hey, this champions live here, you know.
I agree.
I think it should be out in the main area of the house.
I think that's a good call. I've completely gone 180 on this. I do think you got to just talk to your wife and let her know. Look, it's not mid-century; it's a contemporary piece, and it sets the tone for our house.
Yeah, it can go here. Well with things.
Maybe you compromise and say you pick, you know, maybe you put it on a mid-century mantle, you know what I mean? Or like a what do they call those things that you like put a bust on where it's like a column and then on top of it's like the bust of a general or
yeah,
like Caesar?
What are those?
He's got to get one of those things.
Pillars?
Yeah, like a pillar. That's a mid-century pillar and then put your trophy on top. Aaron, what are you thinking?
I'm going to go another way. I think, okay, don't put it in the house. Have it ride shotgun with you.
That'd be fun.
That's not a bad idea. Maybe you
strap
go
strap it in,
and you know, an officer pulls you over in the carpool lane. Sorry, officer. Do you know how organic this fucking championship was? this counts as a living thing. It's living and breathing, and it's current, and it's alive in our hearts. You're not writing me a ticket. I'm going, and I don't care if I'm even on an EV vehicle right here in California. Joe and Aaron bringing the heat. I mean, great calls. Darren, I mean, I hope that helps, dude. Buckle it up. Get a mantle for it. It's going to look good. Your wife will understand, dude. It shows your accomplishments. It's part of who you
are. Yeah, you're not going to, like, put it in the bedroom. You don't want it in there.
It's not between
Maybe you do.
Guys.
Then you can look at that and get inspiration. Where you're like, yeah.
That's true. Yeah. If you need to come around a second time, you know, maybe the first time a little too quick.
Yeah.
It happens to the best of us. And then, you know, you got to go, hey, let's rally.
Yeah.
Just like you did to win that championship.
Exactly, yeah. So,
Joe,
it could work that way. Bedroom, not bad.
I love what I'm hearing. Just don't let it block the TV. Strider, friggin' what up, dude? I love the pod. Best part of my week. 2 months ago, I made the decision. Thank you, dude. 2 months ago, I made the decision to quit drinking permanently.
Mm.
Wasn't good for me, and I feel better now that I'm not drinking the way I was. Good for you, dude. My big problem is that I have never had sex with a woman without rocking a tasty buzz. All dudes talk about how they don't last long in bed, but I've never had the problem because I've never been drunk every time, and generally, I've had the opposite problem. Most nights, not performing to the best of my abilities. I drill myself on a regular basis, but I don't know if the lack of numbness I got from alcohol will make me a quick buster. I'm trying to get back together with a lady that I know, and I'm nervous about my first time back in the throes of passion. What should I do? Thanks, Hank. Once again, do I go by Hank, dude? Dude, these guys, Darren and Hank, dude, are these guys are really... You're asking the right dude, man. I can fucking empathize with you here,
these
dude.
These are great questions.
Yeah, man. I'm a very quick buster with a small penis. So I'll tell you, I worry about this a lot. And what you got to do, you definitely drill yourself before you know, if you're going on a date and you think you're going to get lucky, drill yourself beforehand so you've cleared the hopper.
Yeah.
And then also, if you're a quick buster, maybe you're quick to recoup. And you know, there's moves you can do. There's darting. There's foreplay. There's fun stuff. It's not like, oh, I've busted my nut. And I don't know your age. And, you know, some guys have more problem with this. But, like, sounds like you're a young guy, dude. And
it sounds young.
You'll be able to rally, you know. You'll be able to rally. And if you like the lady, she's going to get you going. She's going to get you going again for a second time around. And that's okay. But I do understand, you know, the first one is nice. So definitely drill yourself beforehand. Definitely. Ladies first. Don't get right in there.
Yeah.
You know, experience. Do some foreplay. What are you thinking, Joe?
Yeah, I agree with all that. I think that's all right. But yeah, don't be afraid. Just, you know, if you guys like each other, she'll, you know, yeah, I'm sure it'll work out. Yeah. If you bust quick, yeah, just, I think you'll recuperate for a second time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it's fine.
Yeah. It's nothing to, I wouldn't stress.
Aaron, what do you got?
I mean, there's also, you know, we're in a COVID world. We're in a world where people don't think about this anymore, but use a condom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll slow you down.
Yeah, that's a...
And you can get a...
Perfect idea.
You can get a thicker one or something like that. Or they actually have ones that do help you last longer. They have a bit of a numbing agent on them, but...
Dude, there you go.
I've never tried that, so I don't know. But I've definitely had some weird, thicker condoms that were like, okay... Got to work a little harder for this one. So I think that's a good way to go.
Yeah, I like that idea.
And, you know, sometimes when I'm in the throes of passion, you know, my mind is wandering and I'm really enjoying the moment. And I think of stuff that always gets me horny, like, you know, dirt bikes or high caliber rifles or, you know, modern machinery stuff that just gets me very horny, you know, modern man's achievements and accomplishments. So don't let your mind go to those things. You know, do the classic, they say, baseball. Think of something that's unhorny, get you unhorny. You know what I mean? I think of reptiles, snakes, you know, snakes in sort of some sort of space planet always gets me very horny. You know, I've done an episode on Boris Vallejo, sort of like that type of stuff. I wouldn't think of, you know, a lot of times when I nut, I find myself closing my eyes and I go, oh, and what I'm envisioning is, you know, when the riders of the Rohim and Lord of the Rings are charging down the mountains, having their bros' backs, you know, maybe that's Gondor.
No, you're right.
It's a Rohim, right?
Yeah, they're coming to Helm's Deep, yeah.
Yeah, coming down to Gandalf. Yeah, and I'm coming to Helm's Deep big time, okay? And I'm dropping frickin' a Gandalf the White, okay? Mm-hmm. Sorry to get a little bit blue.
Look to my coming on the third day. At dawn.
So... Don't let your mind go there. Think of something like, what gets you guys unhorny? For me, it's doing taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Although TurboTax efficient, and I like efficiency. You know?
Trying to find a roommate doesn't get me horny.
Totally.
Yeah.
Think about that. Think about Joe getting a roommate, dude, when you're with this lady.
Or having to move. Think about, oh, man, what if I got to pack these boxes?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you think about moving, that'll be, you'll last a fucking hour.
Yeah, you'll last forever, dude. Might go, it's a difficult needle to thread, though, line to walk, because then you might go full soft if you think about it too long.
Yeah, you don't want to.
Maybe you think your roommate's a dentist, dude. If you're getting real close, go, roommate, oh, and I got to call my dentist, then you'll last. You'll be okay. Get you at least a dozen more pumps. All right, dude, let's do Let's do another one. Then we'll call it. Dude, what up? Dude, Strider, I'm not bragging, but I've gotten so much ass during quarantine.
Oh, F you, man.
Oh, my gosh, dude. Safe ass, though. Like I pay to get us tests before we meet and bone every time. Anyway, I'm tired of having to juggle so much texting and stuff. Oh, my gosh, dude. Maybe one girlfriend is enough. Is it chill having just one girlfriend? Do you think I can pull that off? Blaith.
What?
Oh, wait, my.
What,
name?
What do you mean,
bro?
Don't say.
This guy's name's Blaith.
No,
of
it's
course
not.
This guy's, yeah, dude.
Spell that.
B-L-A-I-T-H-E. Blaith.
How are you getting laid?
Dude, Blaith at Hotmail. No, it's not Hotmail. No, I'm saying his email. This guy sounds like a total hump. It has to be a lie, dude. This has to be a prank. Dude, he's asking me, is it chill having just one girlfriend?
Yeah, I don't know. Chill, man.
Yeah.
Blaith. Where's this guy from? Balboa Island down on the peninsula?
This guy probably lives on a houseboat. Yeah, I can't get all these ladies on my boat. Dude, I don't know, man, if you can pull it off. I think you got to do some maturing first. Be honest with these ladies. Hopefully you're not tricking them, dude. I mean, if they're okay being in these, you having, seeing other people, but hopefully you're not lying. I would say stop lying first. That's a big step in getting a girlfriend. Be honest with yourself, dude. Sounds like you're maybe stepping in that direction, which is good for you. But yeah, of course, I love having a girlfriend. She's my freaking rock, my coral. So, and can you pull it off? I do think, yes, things can be done, but you got to make some changes, dude.
Yeah, Blaith.
I don't think COVID is the only thing he needs to be tested for.
Yeah, dude, get some other tests, dude.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, there's another cotton swab up your future.
That's gold. All right, well, shit, man. Joe, dude, thank you, bro.
Strider, thanks, man. Yeah, this was fun.
This is the best. You'll have to come back soon, dude. We'll have to do maybe talk Cubs, Cubs-Cardinals rivalry next time we're on. That'd be a fun one.
130 years.
Dude, that would be a lot of history. So I'll have to do some research on that. And dude, thank you. I'm glad you said what you said about Deep Dish. Anything else to add or anything to say or that I missed or anything that you want to say to Blaith?
Yeah, Blaith. Yeah, to be safe out there, you know. You got to, go with one woman. And then, again, Deep Dish Pizza is great. Don't be afraid of it. I know it looks thick, but don't be afraid to dive in.
Hey, freaking man. Aaron, thank you, dude. Anything else to add, Aaron?
I mean, I was going to say that what Joe said about Deep Dish is the same thing I feel about women. It's thick. Don't worry about it. Dive in.
I love it. Love it. Like, everything, there's someone for everyone. Beauty's in the eye of the beholder, and taste is in the mouth of the eater when it comes to your deep dish. I think that's just the truth. Freaking any comments, questions, suggestions, email me, StriderWilsonShreds@gmail.com. Freaking stay stoked, dude, and get yourself a freaking dank pie, dude. You know I'm about to go do that. Thank you, Joe, so much, dude. Aaron, thank you, dude.
Thanks.
Freaking late, dude.